This is about God's disclosure of himself to us. But sacred scripture is unique as a writing because it is transcendent. Ordinary historical biographies offer us insight into a person's intentions, their actions, the culture in which they lived, and how that culture affected them, and how they affected that culture. But sacred scripture is different. Sacred scripture has another dimension, for it also speaks about the divine. Sacred scripture has no boundaries. It moves easily between our time and heaven's time, between our intentions and God's intentions, between God's kingdom in heaven and God's kingdom on this earth. This dual dimensionality occurs throughout scripture. It's in each of the letters. It's in the Torah. It's in the Gospels, and it's in the book of Revelation, which was read today. As you know, scripture was written by many authors over centuries. They took oral stories, they wrote, but each had a different reason for writing. Therefore, in scripture, we have history, prayers, preaching, poetry, interpretation, and of course, the story of Jesus in the New Testament, followed by various theological interpretations of who Jesus is and what his life, death, and resurrection mean. The book of Revelation is the final book of the Bible. It could have been written by the Apostle John, or some scripture scholars say by a man known as John the Elder, or by another unknown person. It is often referred to as a visionary work. However, I think this shortchanges the book into either a vision which has no application to current culture, or a vision of what is to come about in the future, but not now. I think the book of Revelation offers a lot more than these short-sighted views. I think the book of Revelation informs us more about God, and it also takes our understanding into yet another dimension. The central theme of the passage read this morning from the book of Revelation is the author sharing of his vision, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." This is not a new theme in Scripture. If we go back to the 6th, 7th, and 8th centuries before Jesus was born, Isaiah the prophet wrote, "The Lord God announced, he is about to create new heaven and a new earth, and therefore the former things shall not be remembered." And again, this is 600 to 800 years before Jesus was born. St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, had a similar thought when he wrote, "If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away." The Apostle Peter, in his second letter, proclaimed, "In accordance with God's promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth." So the author of Revelation, inspired by Jesus, could likewise share with us that he saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. What did the author of Revelation want to communicate with us? I think by reading the entire book, he or she was trying to keep the focus on both our present and our future with God. From the mid-50s to the mid-90s AD, it was after Jesus' death, both the Jewish people and the Christians were in trouble, and the problems grew in intensity from the time the Jews revolted against Roman occupation around 70 AD. The response of Rome was to completely destroy the temple building in Jerusalem. Then the Roman Emperor Nero used the early Christians as scapegoats for his own political ends. The result is that both the Christians who were Gentiles and the Christians who had a Jewish heritage were persecuted. The book of Revelation was written to bolster the faith and the hope of those Christian communities. Now, you know that the book of Revelation has brought about much speculation about end times by people attempting to interpret some of its intense and vivid imagery. I don't go there. I think we have to return to the author's purpose, which was and is to support and encourage the people of God. For example, every Sunday we sing the Gloria Patri. We did this morning. The book of Revelation in chapter 4, verse 8 records this praise of God: "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And doesn't that sound very similar to the Gloria Patri we sang this morning? This book was probably written around 96 AD, which is roughly 63 years after Jesus' death. There may and probably were some people alive at that time who remembered Jesus and were eyewitnesses of his life and resurrection. But all of the people, whether they were witnesses or whether they were not, were Easter people. They were staunch believers in Jesus' resurrection. These were the people who remembered Jesus' promise that those who love him will keep his word, and the Father will love them, and he and the Father will come to them and make their home with him. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, this is what Jesus said. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. And then Jesus added these important words. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The assurance of Jesus for us is to be in God's Holy Spirit and to persistently trust in God. When reading the book of Revelation, I highly suggest that you pay less attention to the Disney-like and Pixar-like vibrant, dramatic, and stunning imagery, for I believe they were devised to form mental images to carry the vital theological messages. I firmly believe that the graphic descriptions were created so we pay close attention to the messages of hope which the resurrection promises to us. Because of the striking imagery, we become immersed in the message, and then the significance of Jesus is remembered. The author of the book of Revelation wants us to pause in order to let our imaginations be captured, to then better understand what the book of Revelation is about. Reassurance, because a new heaven and a new earth is surely coming to our current world. Encouragement, that evil powers will never overcome God's plan. And a guarantee that when the first earth passes, God's city will last forever. I think it's important to realize that if the resurrection is not believed and was not believed by those early Christians, then people would appreciate Jesus just as they did the prophets. He would be in yet another book on a bookshelf like Isaiah and Amos, Jeremiah and Zechariah. But Christianity exploded upon the world, across geography, across culture, across languages. The experience of the risen Lord made a difference to people. And then, because powerful people were afraid of Jesus and crucified him, they became fearful of his followers and persecuted them. The book of Revelation was then written once again to proclaim there is a new holy city, because the Lord God declares that the home of God is among us mortals. We are reminded there is no temple made of human hands in the city of God. Now, we know historically that there was a temple in the city of Jerusalem, and now we have to clearly realize that the new temple in the holy city is not a structure, but it is the Lord God himself, the Almighty, the Lamb of God. We are reminded that the life-giving water of life is a river flowing from God's throne. We are clearly told there is no darkness or night in God's holy city, for the Lord God is the light. In my opinion, then, the book of Revelation goes what some people think about it as simply a consolation for the future, or a pacifier for people anxious about coming persecution. And because of this, I think there's a message for every church, every congregation like ours, to keep working to realize who we are as the body of Christ, the people of the Lamb of God. Yet in another sense, the book of Revelation is a continual reminder of the story of salvation. And one of the reasons for the inclusion of the images, very graphic, of dragons and heavenly armies battling, which are the forces of good and evil, is to continue to warn us that there is a cosmic conflict. All is not well in our world. There is suffering, there is death, and evil is real. St. Paul also wrote about cosmic powers when he wrote to the community at Ephesus. In his letter to the Ephesians, he wrote, "For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil." So the book of Revelation, both at the time it was written and for us in this day and age, is one of optimism. Revelation is a reminder that God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And right up in our very nave, right at the very top, is a book with the Greek letters Alpha and Omega. It's shown in our very architecture. God is our beginning and our end, individually and collectively. We celebrate the Lamb of God because we are an Easter people. We worship together. We rejoice together. We pray together. We plan together. And in doing so, there's a loving tolerance, a loving openness, a loving fellowship, a loving empathy. The book of Revelation connects all generations who have lived before us, who are living now, and who will live in the future, because we are all called to live in the city of God. The book of Revelation confirms that we all share in the self-giving love of God, the love of God shown by Jesus the Christ, the Jesus who told us that he brings us peace, and the Jesus who told us not to fear. We can easily look at the book of Revelation as a fanciful historical writing, but if we do so, I think we fail to see the author's encouragement. He intends for us to see beyond the brilliant and vivid pictures he creates for us. So in this congregation, as in all of life, we see, as he did, birth and death. We experience the joy of life, but we also experience the diminishment of our bodies over time. In our world, we see pain, discouragement, the tears of so many people who are in darkness and suffering. We see senseless violence. We experience sadness, disappointment, injustice. We experience dreams not fulfilled, relationships which fail. And in spite of all of this, the author of the book of Revelation tells us there is a new heaven and there is a new earth because of the resurrection of Jesus, the Jesus whose peace comes from God. Revelation is a reminder that Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, sits with God, who ultimately conquers all. The book of Revelation tells us over and over again that the home of God is among us. The home is not just in the future, but we are told over and over again that God's kingdom and home is here now and will be in the future. Perhaps another way of presenting the message of Revelation is this. We are possessed by God, and we can possess God. But no one can possess us unless we allow it. We are free unless we want not to be free. We can be possessed by anything we want. We can be addicted. We can seek power. We can emphasize the perceived distances between each of us. We can be angry. We can be lustful, and on and on. However, the book of Revelation brings us back to a reality. And the reality is the song in chapter 15, which we prayed in the call to worship. It places our focus on God and not on worldly powers. And this is that song. Great and amazing are your deeds, Lord God Almighty, not our deeds. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations, not our ways. Lord, who will not fear and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your judgments have been revealed. And it is in your judgment that we live now and shall live for eternity. Amen.